July 5, 2021. It's a Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
from Pedro Show. Happy Monday. Started off with John Coltrane, Ogunda, and then Aidan Baker with Becoming Impulse. I saw Brother Matt last night at Brother Vince Giobbe, lemonade maker, a conspirator, and it was 14 months since I seen Brother Matt last. Crane and myself and him are going to do a project called Pictures from the Pleasure Point. Anyway, I'm not man alone, though, because you can probably hear all the way from Berlin because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention. Aidan Baker, welcome aboard.
Hello. Aidan. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, we got to thank tell Andrea Belfi for making the connect.
Grazie. Exactly.
Grazie.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I want to learn about your journey through music. Please bring your earliest memory of music.
My earliest memory of music. That's a tough call.
Remember, it's a Wild for Pedro show. There's no hard questions. There's no wrong answers.
Well, I don't know that I could give a wrong answer to that, but to pinpoint
it's a, Wild for
a first
show.
One,
just don't
that
out.
Would be.
Bring it
yeah,
in.
Yeah, my parents are both musicians, so I don't really remember there not being music in the house. So it was always there when I was a kid.
And where was this, Canada?
This is in Canada, in the countryside.
I could tell, because you said house. That's how you guys give yourself away. You almost got it.
You heard that you sound
yeah,
in there?
It's in about in house, right?
yeah, exactly.
Because we got a lot of... We got it. Well, that's kind of corny, but yeah. I know that actors, because we got a lot of people in Hollywood from Canada, and that's the thing they work on.
Yeah,
it's okay, it's man. True North. So which part?
Just outside of Toronto.
Okay, the big town.
Yeah.
What, the west, like, Hamilton, or something like that.
No, the other way, sort of east, northeast, okay. I guess.
On the way. Oshawa.
Yeah, you probably never would have any reason to go there if you're.
Well,
like,
I played Hull and I played Ottawa, and I know they're right on the river by Quebec, right?
Yeah, but not that far east, just like an hour outside of Toronto, so okay, just in the countryside, by the
like
city.
Metro area. Okay, so yeah, you grew up in a musical family, and it was enough years away from vaudeville though that they didn't work you into the act. You know, Petrus Pop, Charlie Hayden, right? He was cowboy yodeling Charlie, like when he was three, you know? But so I'm assuming there's a lot of instruments in the pad you grew up.
Yeah, totally. I think I had a ukulele. It was probably my first instrument when I was like three or four or something. And I made some hideous noise with that, I'm sure.
Can you remember the first record you bought with your own money?
It was a compilation, one of those KTEL Hits Parade things.
Oh, yeah, I remember those.
Yeah, and I think it had a Rush tune on it that I really liked. New World Man.
You know, if you play in a trio, everybody thinks you're into Rush.
Of course.
No, what about Cream? Even Jimmy started his band after he saw Cream.
Yeah, true.
No, nothing. I got to meet a couple of the guys and because the Les Claypool, big fan, and I was opening it up for him. And I think it was at a hockey arena in Toronto where the Maple Leafs used to play.
Enough.
Yeah, it was years ago in the 90s. And they were very nice gentlemen. What about the first gig you went and saw?
Well, I mean, my parents took me to lots of gigs when I was a kid. One of the first big ones that I remember was seeing Weather Report, actually, when I was like six.
Joe Zawinul.
Yeah, and Jocko was still alive, so he was on bass.
Oh, they didn't have the Czech cat.
No,
okay.
No.
Yeah, okay.
So that was, I don't know, 79 maybe, something like that.
Let me ask you about school. Were you in the choir, the marching band, or shit like that?
I was in the marching band, and my parents had choirs that they ran themselves, so I sang in those choirs too, but it wasn't school.
Bitchin'. And what'd you work in the marching band?
Tenor sax.
Ah! Okay. Was it
your
choice?
We played, like, fucking Santa Claus parades all over... Small town Santa Claus parades, which were pretty hellish, and
the big wool suits and shit, right?
Yeah, sweating and freezing at the same time.
Right, tenor. And did you choose tenor?
I did. Okay. I was actually studying flute privately, like classical flute stuff, and already by the age of when I entered middle school, I was getting kind of sick of it and wanted to play something else, and so I chose sax as kind of in opposition to the flute, I guess.
An antidote. So, what made you want to jump on the flute in the first place?
There was a flute in the house.
Okay.
I mean, I started with piano a bit, but then my mom was teaching me piano, and it's always bad to have your parent teaching you.
Is that right? So, why? Oh, yeah, with stick shift, fathers and daughters. I taught four or five ladies how to drive manual because their pop and or older brothers just had no fucking patience.
Yeah. So, yeah, the same applies to mothers and sons with piano lessons, I would say.
Okay. So you want to be a flautist.
Well, I'm not sure what I wanted to be with my flute career, but I mean, I appreciate studying it, definitely, but it was by the time I got to be a teenager, I was pretty frustrated with the directions or the options that playing professional flute would afford me. So I was already playing sax and teaching myself guitar at that time as, a way of getting out of the classical world.
Okay, the guitar, because lots of the music you gave me, right? So when does that move come?
I don't know, 13 or something. I think somebody's father pulled out a guitar from their basement and said, "Here, haven't played this in 20 years. You can have it." And, it was some no-name beater guitar. And that was my first guitar for a good 2 or 3 years, I think.
Electric or acoustic?
Electric.
Oh, so you must have got an amp too then.
Yeah, I had a shitty little, 10 watt amp or something that I practiced on.
Okay, practice. Let me ask you about that. Did you do the lesson thing?
Did I? Sorry, what?
Do the lesson, like you did with your mom with the piano and shit and the flute?
No. I just taught myself guitar.
So learning songs off records and stuff?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what me and D Boom did. And in fact, a friend of mine, Dirk, there was a guy who showed us stuff who lived in his car. Roy Mendez Lopez. There wouldn't be no Minuteman without him. And I think he's up in Santa Cruz. Beautiful man. And he was about John Coltrane about prac. You got to prac.
Yeah.
Can I ask you, though, what about composing? Did you ever do that early on with the guitar?
Yeah, I did. I think almost right away I started writing out tunes. I remember the first band that I had, I gave them sheet music, and they're like, what are we supposed to do with this?
Now, we're talking a bedroom band, garage band, basement band, after school, right? In the afternoon?
Okay. Yeah, we were 14 or something.
Right. So you handed them out sheet music, yeah.
Yeah, and that went over well, and I think second practice we just started playing off of riffs and stuff instead.
Now, does this band have a name?
Probably, but I've forgotten it.
Okay. Do they ever do a gig or just a prac band?
In that very original form, no. I mean, that garage band went through about, I don't know how many players over the years.
Whose garage? Was it your garage?
No, it was my drummer's garage. So me and the drummer were the two cars.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, he was probably the consistent dude.
Yeah.
Here, I want to play something you gave me here. What it takes to stay, what it takes to leave.
All right, cool. Thank you.
Pete Rose Show. Started that chunk of music out with What It Takes, Takes to Stay, What It Takes to Leave, Aiden Baker. And then Needle Nails Live 2, San Francisco Adobe Bookstore, June 25, 2021. Victoria Shen with her invention when she puts on a port hand a stylus on four of her nails so she can get four scratchings going. The same.
Wow.
Yeah, humans are resourceful. Digging it. And after that, PK with Distance, Patrick Kane, out of D.C. area, his new solo record. It's fucking great. And Bombs Prendon out of D.C. area also from their archive, Pounding the Stick. This guy did 4,000 or 5,000 songs, maybe 5 gigs. Still going. 4 years or something. Al Margolis with V&V, I'm assuming, which is dangerous, December 1, but it might be Deck 1. Sam Lockwarren out of Iowa City, Mountain Dew guy. Apostrophe's, not apostrophe, comma is important. And finally, Nadja, I Don't Mind If Your Hands Are Cold. Okay. Do you go to college for music after high school?
No. I auditioned and was accepted but didn't go and did literature instead.
Okay. So you only applied at one school?
No, I applied at a couple different schools.
Oh, okay.
But I was actually really turned off by the application process for most of the audition process for most music schools at the time. I don't know if this has changed, but at that point I was wanting to do like jazz performance and it seemed so, I don't know, narrow and yeah, not very adventurous.
Like the Wynton Marcellus school of one rule,
one yeah.
way. And nothing against him. He's an incredible talent. And that thing with yeah. Ken Burns, I don't even think they mentioned Charlie Mingus. I can't remember.
Really?
Yeah, I wouldn't shit you, but I could be wrong. Remember on the WAP for Pedro show, there's no wrong answers except from WAP. So, okay, I can imagine that being a turnoff. And you love music so much, you don't want to foul it with bullshit. So you keep that pure, and you go to literature. I got to tell you, Aiden, I use literature all the time for inspiration to compose.
Yeah, likewise.
Yeah, I mean, but for one thing, you know, there's a level of abstraction, so I'm not totally ripping off other musicians. But there's just something about a word moving you. I mean, what more private way of communicating than the written word, right? It's just scribbles. The cat who scribbled it and the cat trying to decipher it, like hardly any middle person.
Yeah, quite true.
Right. It's a trippy thing. It's a pretty incredible form. And I found it as a great resource to help me. Like Double Nickels on the Dime, I just finished Ulysses from Mr. Joyce. And
nice.
All that shit's pertinent all about from that, just reading it, you know. Then I went and read it again like 20 years later in my 40s. It seemed way more sad. But the fucking words didn't change. It was probably what. Okay, so literature, you went to school there in Canada?
Yeah, I went to school in Montreal, McGill University.
Oh, yeah, I know where that is, downtown, right.
Yeah.
In fact, a lot of music cats come out of there that I know. I don't know through the music program, but like they were going to school there.
Yeah, at the time when I was there in the 90s, it was kind of pre-music boom in Montreal, and the music scene was quite dead.
Oh, yeah, the black guys.
The great Godspeed guys.
Right, Godspeed. And the Spanish Cultural Center, right?
Yeah, Sala Rosa and Casa de Papa. Yeah, none of that existed yet.
Right, right, incredible. First time I played Montreal was Fufone Electric.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then I even played in Quebec City that same tour, something called Shoopak. Okay. Yeah, but anyway, to go on. So even though you're doing literature at school, are you doing music on the side with bands?
Well, I struggled with bands actually because the scene was tough at that point. So that was kind of when I started branching out on my own and just doing like solo stuff.
Okay.
Both in more of a kind of like acoustic guitar folk kind of way and more like abstract Glenn Branca kind of stuff at the same time.
Yeah, Mr. Branca. I got to be part of Symphony 13.
Oh, nice.
Hallucination City for the Los Angeles one. Yeah, beautiful guy. Oh. I really liked him. I think
sadly, I never got to see him live before he died.
Yeah,
yeah. He played a couple times in Toronto, but I always missed it.
His wife, Reg, is still going strong with her problems and stuff, yeah. But, okay, so you get it. It's dangerous again, but I'm assuming you got into kind of recording yourself.
Yeah. I had a cassette 4-track, so it was all super lo-fi stuff.
Yeah, yeah. But still, you know.
That's where you start, right?
Right. Or you spend a buttload of money in somebody else's studio.
Yeah.
The old way, right? Oh, man, old way. Drive up to Hollywood, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours each way, and they give the guy $1,500 a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't miss those 90s parts. That's why I built Casa Hanzo here at Pizza's backyard, man. All my stuff's Pedro now. And here, too. I can't do drums, but I can do a pert and everything else. Yeah, all the new days ain't terrible. So, let me ask you, when you graduate,
yeah,
okay, I'm gonna get a career in literature.
Yeah, because that's so fruitful.
Well, somehow you end up in Berlin, right?
Somehow. Well, yeah. I when I graduated, I guess I kind of had the idea of being a writer. And I did some postgraduate work in writing and creative writing and stuff, and moved back to Toronto and sort of hung out in the literary scene there and found it pretty disillusioning.
Oh, man. So sorry. Well, it's a private thing. It's almost like painters, right? And by the way, there's a heavy compositional component
to writing.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. So that's after being disillusioned with the writing scene, what happens? I don't mean to laugh, okay? That's so terrible. No, I'm sorry.
It is kind of, well, I don't know if funny is the right word, but...
Yeah, I know. It ain't.
Yeah. No, I guess at the same time, I was still trying to do my solo guitar stuff, ambient experimental music, and in the late 90s, that was kind of... getting some attention from people, and even in Toronto, the scene wasn't as good as in Montreal, but there were people doing it, and just started playing out more and getting more feedback that way than I was through writing.
Can I ask if you had anybody inspiring you at the time that was playing?
Like in Toronto itself, you mean locally?
Like kind of some kind of movement? Or was it totally Man Alone?
It wasn't Man Alone. There was a series called The Ambient Ping that started around that time. And they were focused on presenting like an ambient music night every week. Like one day a week, they would have an ambient band, an ambient artist, ambient band, ambient whatever, listening session. And, it ranged from stuff like Tangerine Dream to Can to Noi. I mean, Noi's not really ambient, but, it was ambient enough that it would fit their parameters. And they were super supportive of, like, people doing this kind of music, and they brought out people, and they connected people, and they really kind of forged a scene. And it was very kind of untrendy and not latched onto by the hip kids or anything like that, but it really provided an outlet for a lot of people that were trying to either connect with people who made this music or just appreciated listening to this kind of music.
Is this still around?
Yeah, they don't do events as regularly as they used to, but they have, like anniversary events. Last year they had an online anniversary event because of the whole pandemic shit. And I participated in it from Berlin remotely, did like 5-minute set that was broadcast in a bar in Toronto.
Do you have a URL for them? Is it simple?
I'm pretty sure it's just theambientping.com.
AmbientPing.com. Okay, I want to check that out, man. You know, to have some support is important, man, especially if you're getting a lot of negative stuff, you know, things, application processes, and then, you know, closed-minded salons. So I'm really glad and grateful to these people, and they exist all the time, and somehow I want to give credit, because things don't happen by themselves a lot of the time. Sometimes they do, but a lot of times, and then the connects aren't that calculated either. They just seem to happen.
Yeah.
We're at the end of the first hour, Aid. July 5, 2021 edition, Watt Pedro Show, special guest Aiden Baker. Hold tight for hour two. July 5, 2021, the second hour, Watt Pedro Show.
Well, the drums are the dog laps, swelling in the haze, everlast fellowship of peace. They repolice the meat. Replication overload. Replication overload. Cherry blossoms melting on my face. It's a damn disgrace. When you're in the race, when you're in the hunt, and the dogs are calling. Where's my crossover? When there's a pattern for me. Where's my crossover?
I'm gonna go get some more. Bye.
Watt from Pedro Show. We start off the second hour, Nadja and Oval with Trapped in a Jar. And Ben Salter, Peacetime Flag Terrain. Lucas Abella, P is for Psoriasis. Love his music, man. It's intense. But these titles. Yeah, I think maybe he just had a son learning him the alphabet. He's got all these. And Hypno Drone Ensemble, this is from you. Feed Forward. Yeah. Tell us a little about these. I mean, they don't have your names on it. You know, obviously, Nadja is an ongoing concern, right?
Yeah.
But no, let's not jump ahead. Let's take it back from ambient peak days. So what do you do from that?
Well, this is like early 2000s, I guess. And I started releasing music. And I'd done a few tapes here and there myself in the 90s. But once CDR labels kind of started popping up, suddenly I seemed to have an outlet. And it wasn't just, you know, a couple of people in a local coffee shop kind of thing. It was actually kind of the internet was giving us a global reach here and making connections for people doing ambient experimental music more possible. So, yeah, I started being able to release music and making networks.
I know what you mean. I started my show 20 years ago, last May, 2 months ago.
Okay.
So things started changing. Yeah, we can use the internet for more things than just spreading bullshit and lies. We can also connect music.
Yeah, and that was a big change for me. And that gave me a whole new community of people.
Well, what about touring?
At this point, I hadn't really done any touring, I guess. Mostly it was just playing in Toronto, occasionally in Montreal. The odd time, I think we played in Buffalo or Chicago or something, but that was about it.
Just a gig, right? No, I got to tell the listeners, Canadian guys wanting to tour in the land of the free, got to burn their ass jumping through a lot of hoops. It's terrible.
Yeah. Or sneak across and be crafty about it.
Which I don't advise people.
Because
if you get on a list, you'll never get in again. I think maybe Damo's going to get in finally, but for a lot of years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you get to Berlin?
Well, how do we get to Berlin? Well, we started doing, my wife and I, Leah, we started doing Nadja Records in about 2005 and as a duo, and people started wanting to hear it live. So we started playing shows, and we signed with Alienate Records in Montreal, and they were really good for us. Did a few albums with them, and it really kind of, I don't know, jump-started a music career for both of us, even though Leah didn't necessarily want a music career at that point, but she came along for the ride.
But Nadja becomes like a tour band.
Yeah, it became one anyway. At that point, we were still doing one-offs here and there, but we started going to Europe, I think, the first time in 2005 or 6, and playing shows and touring, and, you know, suddenly realized it was a viable option. And also that Europe was way better for touring than Canada, not just because of the distances, but there's simply more people here. And so you can have an audience, you can play every night and, you know, have a decent audience, make some scratch and, you know, keep going. So, 2009, end of 2008, I guess we came here for a while and then officially moved to Berlin in 2010.
Yeah. It's like living in SoCal and looking at a map at New England. God, we live there. Look how close the gigs are. But you're right, too, about the population thing. Still like playing Canada, but you're right. It's a little more a little more pioneer spirit. I want to play this Red Robin. This is like a trio.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Swap for Pedro show. That chunk of music started with Baker Goff Harris No Place Trio. That's a name. Ensemble. Red Robin. Then DK with Awakening. Not Dead Kennedys people. That's the cat that goes by DK. Trapper Shope after that with I Am a Writer. And finally, Baker Colochia Mueller. Mauve. Yeah, one of my favorite colors, right up there with puce. No. Tom Watson loves having fun with that word. Of course, you know, he knows art and that stuff yet. But I noticed there's a Baker in both those projects. Is it the same one? You?
That's me.
All right. So what's the difference between those two? And also the one we played last, the Hypnodrone Ensemble.
Hypnodrone, yeah. Hypnodrone's like a loose collective. The only rule is we have to have at least three drummers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Full trap set, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
So it's a challenge touring with them, but we've done some small tours at least.
Yeah, I tried that. I had a band with two drummers, the crew of the Flying Saucers. I actually had to bring another boat, and this baby wouldn't fucking... kept breaking down on poor Vince. Oh, man. But anyway, okay. And are these projects you initiated or ones you joined?
A combination.
Okay.
Yeah. The No Place is a bit more of an active trio. Simon Goff lives here in Berlin, and we play together a lot. And Thor Harris...
Maybe. Oh, I know Thor Harris, Austin, you know, yeah. Drummer man.
Thor
right.
Harris, everybody. Yeah.
No, he was a guest on the show, and I played a lot of his music.
Oh, cool, nice.
Drummer man, yeah. Writing for a long time with Michael and the Swans and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and we've done a couple tours together, or one big tour with No Place and a couple records, hoping to do another one. And the other one with Faith Colachia from Mammifer and John Mueller, he's out there, they're both American, so that one was like a long-distance album that we recorded through file sharing.
Trading files, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Done buttloads of that. I actually, for years now, I mean, it got more intense with this sitch, but as soon as I found a way of fucking doing it, yeah. I did it back with Dose Days with Kay with four-track cassettes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she had to go to, after graduating UCLA, she did an internship at Yale. And so I would send her these things. That's how we put together the first Dose album. So wow. I've kind of been in this thing. I'm not saying it's a replacement, but I think it's a valid way of doing shit. Sometimes a lot less pressure. Can I ask you something I've noticed? Auslanders. You play with them. It seems Auslanders like to play with Auslanders.
Yeah, that's kind of true. I mean, I do play with some Germans, but yeah, I mean, the musicians population here is so multinational, international.
Oh, no, I know that. It's beautiful. It's an artist city. You know Larry Mullins?
Yeah, I know him.
Yeah, I got to do 2 years last shift with the Stooges with him, and he's been he's been there many years.
Yeah, exactly.
And I just wondered. Now Larry plays with all kinds of people, but it seems other music friends I have, it seems they gravitate towards, or maybe just that's the social circles. I don't know.
It is kind of a social circle, yeah.
That the idea of the expat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't pronounce it that other way. Sounds like some guy from Ireland, right? You know, and nothing wrong with that, but so I say Pete. Just to fuck with people. And so like when you do these trios and collabs, how is the composer? Do you bring in tunes, or do you guys do it together?
Mostly it's pretty improv. A lot of times we just, you know, book a studio for as long as we can afford to and play for 3 hours or something and then chop it up and make tunes out of it that way.
Like Miles Smiles and On the Corner and stuff. Yeah. did that once with the Saccharine Trust way back in the 80s when they had this gig, you know, we're going to make it all up as we do it. And then the bass player was really good, got scared the night before. I ain't going to do it. So they have Watt, and they put me in a everybody had to wear a tuxedo. It's the only time I've ever worn a tuxedo. And it's called World Broken. But I think that's a good thing because, you can scissor the clams and sure, not so interesting stuff. We're at the end of the second hour, July 5, 2021 edition, Watt Pedro Show special guest, Aidan Baker. Hold tight for hour three. July 5, 2021, it's the third hour of the Watt Pedro Show.
the lady within. In and within, bring the wind. Wind for the lady. What is the name? When is the nine? When is the same? Think the why is the memory? What is possession? For is possession. Yet is possession. What was that you said? That you said that. You said the devil eyes. She was afraid. Afraid that looked. That looked. That she was afraid. She was afraid. Afraid. What do you do? You dance. It's a night of madness. This is when it's been together. It's like an empty room with only seats. You dance. It's a night of madness. Are your home haunted? It's like a, another love and another string and a sort of harmony. It's like anything new. It's like anything I haven't seen. Like, I don't know what to call it. It's like everything's green. It's like surrealistic. I don't like it. And do you dance? And it's the night of madness. And it's fighting my instincts. And it's everything I haven't seen. And it's I don't know what to fucking call it, man. It's like everything's green. It's like surrealistic. I don't like it. Perpetual state involving concept. Real from within it. Fantasy options. It's fun and exciting. Fantasy options. It's elegant taste. It's options and concepts haven't evolved. It's real from within. It's contradictions and alternate motives. It's trying to find and define and display. And it's trying to remit that. It's that whole contradiction. It's that play on disasters. I mean, you can stay there all night and never leave. It's like perpetual state, but it's involved many concepts, but it's a group of resistance. You could never leave, never leave, you could never leave, you could never leave. I see only probation. I smell cold perspiration. It's genderless breath. Made by truck drivers. It's all fucking studs and black leather. Like they're very, very black. And it's like a typewriter key. It's like this. Ever been waiting all day alone in a room? She's been waiting all day alone in a room, and there's bars on the windows. It's a prism. It's like it's a ghost town. It's like repeat riding, not waiting. It's like ghost stars, a ghost tape, and it's like sliding down. It's like lifting down. It's like lifting by. It's like dreams. The dreams are so different. It's a ghost town. It's the dreams are so life. It's like the image so questioned. It's like a ghost town. It's waiting all day. It's repeat riding all day. She's alone in her room. She's just like alone in her room. Actual violence. Come on, let's see some fucking actual violence or it's bullshit or it's bullshit. Come on, it's sex and it's spelled. It's actual violence. Come on, I'm waiting. Fucking man, it's bullshit. It's bullshit. It's all bullshit. It's all bullshit. Thank you.
Watch for Pedro show. Started the third hour off with Whisper Room and Luno Lunacod 05, I guess. Interesting.
Lunacod.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a Russian satellite.
Oh, okay. Probably something to do with the moon. I used to know about that stuff. Russian or Soviet?
Soviet, yeah.
Okay, yeah, those days. So much of a secret I remember growing up. Space race stuff. Then we had Check It from Unz, which was a proj of Zev, incredible cat. Blake Edwards turned me this. This is live at Target Video, San Francisco, Feb 24, 1980, part two of two. He took care of him in his last days. Fucking cancer was killing him, but he was such an inspiration. He would put up this percussion stuff, not so much this proj, this was more spiel, but he'd almost get killed by this stuff. You know, because it was swinging, right? And big iron. And then finally, Anadja with All Memories or Traces of Tears. What's the composition process for Anadja?
Usually it starts with a very kind of rudimentary sketch that becomes like the backbone of the tune, and then we pile shit on top of it. You know, more guitars, lots of sounds, effects. So at a very rudimentary level, there's a fairly simple tune there, but building it up is kind of our process.
Right. And you keep that special to Anadja versus these other things. Well, tell me about Whisper Room. What's Whisper Room?
Whisper Room, that's it's a trio I started when I still lived in Toronto. And this last album we did through file sharing again because the other two guys are still in Toronto. It was about making space rock basically.
We should name the two guys there, Aiden.
Name the two guys. Jacob Thiessen on drums and Neil Wernick on bass and a laptop doing processing. And we've got a couple guests on this record doing percussion and giving it that extra kind of weird crowdy clatter that's going on.
You know, these projects that you got as trios, do you search out, like, rhythm sections?
No, it's not that I search them out. I think it's just people that I play with or meet or have some kind of connection with, and we talk about playing together. It's less about, like, me searching them out and more about coming together through a community like we were talking earlier.
Right, right. Okay, maybe a bad choice of words, but, like, it seems, you know, like, Jimmy's going to go find a bass in a drummer, right? And Mitchell, he's my Elvin Jones. And, like, he didn't even hear no Red and play. He liked his haircut. Right? The guy thought he was going to play guitar with him. Never played bass before. So that's why I'm curious about that kind of stuff, you know. Like, you know, I'm a guitar man and I'm looking for a situation, these two guys. Or it's more like egalitarian, right?
Yeah, I like to approach that egalitarian approach much more. It's more about, coming together and making music, less about seeking people out to make a band.
Now it's your turn to play with me. And now it's your turn. I remember this one fucking tour I did. All three of the touring bands, you know, they were all together for all the gigs. But I was in all three, so I never got off the fucking stage.
Oh, that's right.
It was terrible. Even though the music was way different, it was like, now your turn. Now it's your turn. And they're like, what? I didn't do that again. I think it was late 80s. Here's another thing Prodigy gave me. Caudal.
Caudal.
Okay, Caudal.
Yeah.
Okay, like Cadillo, like a strongman?
No, it's like it refers to estuary flow in a river, apparently. The drummer gave us the name. He's a Spanish dude, a Colombian, actually.
Because Cadillo, you know, is the strong man. But estuaries are interesting. That's actually the East River in New York City. It's actually the ocean. They're not rivers.
Yeah.
for Pedro Show. Last music for this edition. Start off that chunk with Caudal 451S2. Interesting title.
Mm-hmm.
Probably comes last, right? Or do you guys begin with titles? Well, we'll get to it. Well, Skullcaster was side A of his reevaluation. This is Chris Cones. He was on the show, I think, Friday. Very fucking happy music. And then finally, Dogdrome from Nazi.
Dogdrome. Yeah.
Ruski word?
Norwegian.
Norwegian, okay. Okay. Yeah, why not? You know, cosmopolitan. I love it.
Exactly.
So, but enlighten us to Caudal.
Yeah, Caudal is Felipe Salazar on drums and Gareth Sweeney, who I mentioned as a big Minutemen fan, on bass.
Yeah, thank you. Very kind.
We were all living in Berlin when we started up. We're now all in different cities, so when we're going to play again, we don't know. But yeah, it started up as a kind of trance punk band, I guess, making kind of punky music with spacey elements.
Yeah, for example, this title, is it the name of a star or something?
No, it was, we kind of, it's a mashup of the subway line that was near our rehearsal room and I think the number of the rehearsal room itself.
Okay. It's trippy, but
you know.
No, Wire had a song called 106 Beats That, and when I found out it was like the number of syllables that the guy who wrote it came up with while he was on the train going to practice, almost the same trip. And, you know what I mean? It's hard to know about that stuff. And okay, two things I want to ask you about. This idea of genre, because you keep, you kind of define these projects by a certain kind of genre or something. Like, here's space trance, here's this thing and that.
Is genre a necessary evil?
Yeah, or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. You have to give stuff a label or people don't know what they're listening to.
But at the end, personally, do you believe music's music?
Yeah. I mean, it's unfair to say that, you know. But obviously there's so much music in the world that if you put a couple tags on it, that'll help people listen to what they want to listen to.
So they just stay entrenched in their own little pill boxes? You don't want to blow some minds? No.
If you use the right tag.
See, I'm just putting that out there. It's just, what do you call that? Hyperbole. Hyperbole, right? Yeah. Trying to wrestle the paradigm. That's all. Just having fun with it. And then instrumental music. How important are titles?
For that project, not especially. I think it's you know, we give it a title just to have a title, basically. You know, it's more about what people take out of it than what the title says.
Okay, so titles aren't that important. You know,
well, it depends on the song, I guess.
Yeah, well, songs with lyrics, right? You're giving away other information. That's why I said instrumentals. And I always give this example of John Coltrane, you know, Alabama. As soon as you read that, you're thinking of the four girls, right? Even though he's phrasing like from Dr. King, right? He's speaking, but just by that name, right? And you know, I got a piece of music of his charting out "Love Supreme," and he says, "quote Alabama" on it. It's like one of the instructions near the end.
Mm.
So yeah, like you say, point of reference just for the guys making it or people making it. Yeah. So where can people find you on the internet, Aiden?
You can find my solo work at Aiden Baker and Bandcamp, AidenBaker.bandcamp.com, and with Nadja, it's Nadja.bandcamp.com. There's tons of music up there. A lot of it's free if you want to download it for free, because we like to give shit away, or we want people to hear stuff.
Yeah.
So there's lots of music up there, and you can find links to all my other projects there as well.
Okay, people, check it out, because Watt is going to play. I'll be playing more of your stuff.
Cool.
Big thanks again to Tell Andrea for the connect and for you making time for me and being on the show. Thank you so much, Aiden.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Truly. And tell Gareth thank you and work that case. People, it's been July 5, 2021 edition Watt Peter Show. keep your powder dry.